Welcome to The Man Chair, where two guys debate their best of lists in sports, TV, movies, music, and more. Our co-hosts, Brian Page and Jason Rogers, are lifelong friends who grew up three houses apart. They won the childhood lottery, being kids in a small Midwest town playing sports from sunup to sundown before social media was a thing. So sit back in your man chair, go back in time to when life was more simple, and join us as we debate our best of lists each week. And be sure to go directly to our Facebook page at themanchair.com and tell us what we got wrong, share your own list, or email us with suggestions for the next episode. Now on to the show. Listeners, we are in the midst of March Madness season. Jason, is there a better time of year than this?
Last weekend is the best sports weekend of the year. Like I said before, I'm a football guy, but the NCAA tournament first weekend is my favorite sports weekend of the year.
Well, there were some buzzer beaters this weekend, that's for sure. And unfortunately, I didn't think any of those made the top five all-time March Madness buzzer beaters, only because it was so early in the tournament. But, you know, only time will tell. Maybe eventually they will make it if one of those buzzer beaters ultimately wins the national championship.
Tough list to crack.
It is a tough list to crack, Jason. Are you ready to go through our list of the top five all-time March Madness buzzer beaters?
I'm ready to go.
Why don't you start with number five?
At number five, I have 1995 top-seeded UCLA versus number 8 Missouri. I remember watching this game for the last play of the game. Tyus Edney gets the inbounds pass and goes the full length of the court. But before that, Missouri hit a 3-foot jumper to go up 74-73 with 4.8 left. Everybody's going crazy. UCLA takes a timeout. And underneath the basket, they pass it into Tyus Edney. He takes the inbound pass, races down the court. He dribbles behind his back and banks in a right-handed layup as the buzzer goes off.
...of UCLA to get into the Sweet 16, knocked out last year in the first round by Tulsa. They don't want to lose this one. Edney going the distance. Yes!
And UCLA goes on to the Sweet 16, and they were the eventual champion that year.
We didn't compare lists before today. We just didn't have time. That was my number five.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that UCLA team was loaded. They had 8 guys that ended up making NBA rosters.
I remember Tyus Edney and Ed O'Bannon. That's the only two players I remember. Yeah. I don't remember anything about that game at all except for the very last play.
And obviously, if you've heard it by now, we've played the recording. I'm sure you can visualize that play in your head as well. Jason, who was your number four?
Well, my number four was from 1998, number 13, Valparaiso, against number 4, Ole Miss.
Okay.
Valpo, they were down. Bryce Drew, coach's son, he missed a 3 with 4.1 seconds left. Ole Miss gets the rebound, and they're fouled. So they go to the line. His name's Ansu Cisse, the 1998 SEC Player of the Year.
Ansu Cisse, second-team All-American, voted by the coaches in the SEC as the Conference Player of the Year. He has had an off game today, although he had a huge block of a shot about a minute and a half ago to keep Ole Miss in front. Now, he tries to make one foul shot. That would give the Rebels a 3-point lead, 4.1 to go, and Valpo cannot stop the clock. It is no good, but Carter tips the rebound out of bounds. It'll be Valpo, but they lose a valuable second and a half.
Very tough play right there. It should have come up with the rebound. My goodness.
So now Valpo's going to have to go the length of the court, 2.5. The inbounds pass to be thrown by Jamie Sykes. Carter pressuring. It's to Jenkins, the Drew for the win. Good! Oh! He did it! Bryce Drew did it! Has won the game, a miracle.
And I mean, it's a famous shot. You can see it on YouTube. Valpo ends up winning the game 70-69.
Can you tell me where Valparaiso is in the United States?
I can't tell you. I bet I'm sure I've known it at one point or another, but I don't know where Valparaiso is.
It's in Northwest Indiana. It's within a couple hours of Chicago, maybe 90 minutes.
All right. Now I know.
And that'll tell you something, how big of an upset that was, right? Not only, I shouldn't say upset, but on top of it all, a buzzer beater. My number four was the 2021 Final Four game between Gonzaga and UCLA, and it was Jalen Suggs who did it. So I want to set the stage here. UCLA had just tied the game 90-90 with 3 seconds remaining, leaving UCLA to drive the length of the court for the final shot. And then Jalen Suggs did this. What was stunning was that UCLA didn't really do anything wrong. They didn't miss like a free throw, didn't look confused on defense. They just lost on what was nearly a half-court heave by Jalen Suggs of Gonzaga. Who was your number three?
At number three, I have 2016 National Championship game. Number two, Villanova versus the number one seeded UNC Tar Heels.
That was my number two, but I want to hear your take on it.
Oh, I'll take this one. I'm a Duke fan, so anytime the Tar Heels lose, it's extra sweet to me. But this is the national championship game, and USC was down six with a minute and a half left. They come all the way back, and Marcus Page hits a three with 4.7 left to tie it at 74. And the broadcast shows the crowd. Jordan's in the crowd. Everybody's celebrating, going crazy.
Hold on. Is this where the Jordan meme comes from, where he's crying?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That'd be great if it was, though. Anyway, Villanova inbounds the pass. The guard takes it all the way down the court, and Chris Jenkins is trailing. The guard turns around, throws it back to Chris Jenkins at the line.
Or at least when I think back to that game, it's just so much like the dreams that we all have, you know, where there's only a few seconds left. It comes down to you for the last shot and, you know, you sink it and you win it. And I don't know about you. I had those dreams and I would sink it with like a little Nerf ball with like the basketball hoop on the back of my door, you know, the little plastic 2 foot by 2 foot. Or at Smith Park, and it just felt like one of those moments where somebody passed you the ball at the last moment, you sink it. That, and I'm with you, man. That, like I said, that was my number two.
Well, when you're playing in the backyard, it's always for the national championship or the NBA championship. It's no good if it's the third game of the season.
So, yeah.
And Chris Jenkins actually lived that dream. Hit a three with time expiring to win the national championship.
And I don't want to lead people to believe that I wasn't good at basketball. I was on the fifth grade Clinton County All-Star team, and I was the fourth player off the bench. So I was, in my heyday, pretty darn good. This is a quick reminder to go directly to our Facebook page at themanchair.com and tell us what we got wrong, share your own list, or email us with topic suggestions for the next episode. Now back to the show. Jason, my number three... it goes back to last week's episode when we talked about the greatest upsets of all time. And so my number three is the 1983 national championship game between NC State and Houston. And the buzzer beater was Lorenzo Charles. So if you remember in last week's episode, I talked about how for me, that was my number one upset of all time. And the shot was my third. If you don't recall, it was NC State's ball, and the score was tied at 52.
You can see the time. Wittenberg, oh, that's a long ways. They won it. On the dunk.
We all remember that visual of, you know, Jimmy V running around the court, as you said last week, just looking for somebody to hug as fast as he can.
Yeah, they show it over and over again every April.
Jason, who was your number two?
That was my number two.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I guarantee you we both have the same number one.
Because it's the greatest shot in the history of college basketball.
Yeah, I'm with you. Jason, do you want to take this one?
Oh, yeah, I'll take this one. So it's 1992. Number one, Duke. Number two, Kentucky. In 2004, Sports Illustrated rated this the greatest basketball game of all time. And ESPN rated this the 17th greatest sports moment of all time.
Mm.
So this is my greatest college basketball memory ever. I was sitting in my bedroom. It was dark outside. I had my bracket. I had already written in Kentucky. I was a Duke fan. I was devastated. And then this happened. So it's Rick Pitino versus Krzyzewski.
For our listeners, just to remind you, this is the Coach K team with Christian Laettner, Bobby Hurley, and Grant Hill. So obviously, this Duke team is loaded. So sorry to cut you off, Jason.
So the game's tied at 93, and Hurley misses a three to win the game. He misses. It goes into overtime. So in overtime, Kentucky's up 98-96. Laettner scores Duke's next 6 points, giving them a 102-101 lead. So Kentucky calls a timeout with 7.8 seconds left. Sean Woods then hits a running one-hander over Laettner to go up 103-102 with 2.1 left. And this is the point my little heart's broken. I go ahead right in Kentucky because I know the game's over. And then they give Grant Hill the ball underneath the basket. For some reason, Kentucky doesn't guard him. So he hasn't.
Yeah.
He can go anywhere on the baseline he wants. He throws a perfect pass to Laettner at the opposite free throw line.
Remember the fake right?
Yeah, Laettner's double. Right? He's double teamed. So he jumps up, catches the ball with his back to the basket. He turns to his left.
There's the pass to Laettner. Puts it up. Yes!
And shoots a turnaround jumper as time expires to win the game 104-103 in overtime. The place goes nuts. Laettner's running around. Duke's going crazy. My little heart was racing. I was running around my bedroom, waking up my parents. I was so happy. It's one of my greatest memories as a kid. And there was no doubt Duke versus Kentucky was going to be in my number one buzzer beater.
And I have a very similar recollection of that event. I also was a Duke fan. Really, I was a Coach K fan. And I wanted desperately to watch that game, but we had gone down to Plant City, Florida. This was in the old days when the Reds had spring training down there. And oftentimes during spring break, our grandparents would take my brother and I down there. So we're driving back up, and my grandparents were kind enough to time it so where about halfway up, we could stop at this really small hotel in Kentucky to take in some games. And I'm sitting in the hotel with my grandparents watching that with the same kind of feeling that you had. I'm with you, and I know that wasn't the national championship. It was an Elite Eight game in 1992, but for whatever reason, that's the moment that sticks out the most for me when I think about March Madness. So let's go back over our top five, Jason. Who is your? Why don't you start at five and go back through to number one?
So at number five, I had UCLA versus Missouri from 1995. My number four was number 13 Valparaiso versus number four Ole Miss from 1998. Number three, I have number two, Villanova versus number one, UNC in the 2016 national championship game. At number two, I had number six, NC State versus number one, Houston in the 1983 national championship game. And number one, I have top seeded Duke beating number two, Kentucky in 1992 on the Christian Laettner buzzer beater.
My review is the 1995 second round matchup between UCLA and Mizzou. Tyus Edney hit that shot. My number four was the 2021 Final Four game between Gonzaga and UCLA. Jalen Suggs hit that shot. My number three is the 1983 national championship game between NC State and Houston, and Lorenzo Charles hit that shot. My number two, the 2016 NCAA national championship game between Villanova and UNC, and Chris Jenkins hit that shot for Villanova. And my number one is 1992 Duke-Kentucky Elite Eight game, and Christian Laettner hit that shot. Jason, are you ready to rob the hopper?
Oh, yeah, let's do this.
B8. B8 is sitcom characters from the 1990s.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't
wait. I like that one.
This is going to be, this might be the episode I'm looking forward to preparing for the most. Well, listeners, you heard it there. Be sure to check out our lists always at themanchair.com and pipe in with your opinions. Tell us what we got wrong.
Well, we just robbed the hopper, and that means it's the end of our show. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating and review. It really helps a lot. If you have an idea for our next list, please email us at themanchairpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook on our Man Chair Podcast page, or you can find links to everything we own in our own little corner of the web, themanchair.com. The Man Chair Podcast is sponsored by Modern Husbands. Go to modernhusbands.com for ideas to manage money and the home as a team.